The stories on this podcast are true. The names have been changed to hide the identities, but everything else has been kept the same for respect of the dead. Welcome to Fargo Season 2. More Like TV is back from our hiatus. We are going to be reviewing, obviously, if you download this, you know, we're going to be reviewing Fargo Season 2 until, of course, our next show. So this, hopefully, is better than the last True Detective Season 2 we did. Joined on this show with by Marie Lopez.
Hello.
Cousin Joe Coletta.
Hey.
Mitch.
All right, then.
Sherry.
Oh, hi.
And Ramcat Jackson are joining
don't
us.
Don't you know.
Don't you know. Let's settle this right here in Brainerd. That's the problem with this. All I want to do is quote Fargo because I love that fucking movie so much.
Well, see, the thing is, I'm just here to fact check your accents that you do.
Oh, that's right, because Mitch is from Minnesota, eh? He knows how we talk there.
Yeah, so I'm just going to be here checking your accents and all of your facts that you get about Minnesota. And not so much North Dakota, because nobody cares about it. But.
So we're going to talk about
Season 2, Episode 1.
Season 2, Episode 1. What's it called?
Waiting for Dutch.
Waiting for Dutch.
Which is what we're doing, because Dutch missed the first episode.
Which is hilarious that he did that, by the way.
He's at a birthday party.
He's having fun. So I guess we'll start it off by saying, let's see. It doesn't matter if you've seen Season 1 or not, because they're very loosely tied together. Has everyone here, I know Marie hasn't, has everyone here seen Season 1?
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Maybe the best TV series I've seen since Deadwood.
It was really good.
It doesn't really tie together because the movie Fargo takes place in what, the 80s or 90s or whatever?
90s.
Yeah, mid-80s. Yeah.
Whatever. And then Season 1 takes place in sort of recent times, not, you know.
2004?
Yeah, like 2006 or 7.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. Now, this one takes place in the 70s, right?
Right.
Right.
Now, they did connect Season 1 to the movie.
Right.
Yeah, which we finally found out, spoiler,
what happened to the money.
Exactly.
Which was, I thought was really cool, because I didn't I didn't know they were connecting, and I really thought it was completely independent. And when they did that, I was like, are they fucking, that's another reason it was so cool.
Yeah, I mean, the Coen brothers are producing the series.
Yeah, of course. So they, and by the way, I know they're producing it, but I got to say Season 1 and not even the first episode of Season 2, God damn, it has that Coen brothers feel. And there's a certain feel to Coen brothers stuff.
The lighting and the, I mean, we'll get to it, but the scene in the diner where, like, the background, there's like the haze behind him when he,
That's what I always say whenever, like, I'm in a Waffle House or at IHOP at 2 a.m. I go, I always feel like I'm in a Coen Brothers movie, you know,
with that
dim lighting and this, the people that are there are not the best, and So I guess we'll start off with what happened in this one. It started out with, and I know Mark is way better at actors' names than I am. The guy from Burn Notice. What's his name?
I haven't seen it, so Burn Notice. I mean,
John's a stunt guy.
Yeah,
I don't know what he's called.
The middle brother, the one that was picking on the little brother at the beginning, Joe. That guy, him. Apparently,
Big Bear.
Fuck, dude, I don't know their names.
Well, the guy that had a beard.
Not the guy with the beard. The other guy at the beginning, at the very beginning, who's talking to his brother.
Let me just read down names.
Oh, the one who looked like Indian.
Jeffrey Donovan.
No, the other guy, Jeffrey Donovan. Yes,
Jeffrey Donovan. That's his name.
His name in the show is Dodd Gerhart.
Yes.
Okay.
The Gerhart family there. So the really quick, just sort of if you've seen Season 1 or not, there is a connection to the first season already, and the connection is the main cop is the same guy who owned the diner and was the father of the female cop.
Yeah, Molly's father.
Molly's father.
Keith Carradine.
Right. So when you see her there, that's her. So it is connected. And
And he mentions the massacre the last time there was ever any, you know, this type of murder.
Right. Which, again, really fucking cool how they set that up, you know, how everything is connected. Now, once again, expectations are high, and this is what happened to us with True Detective. Expectations are really high because True Detective Season 1 was so good. Well, Season 1 of Fargo was really, Billy Bob Thornton was fucking amazing.
That's what, Royce and I were talking about this off the air, like, before it aired, Royce and I were like talking. It's kind of like the True Detective thing, because in that you had Woody Harrelson, you had McConaughey, who were outstanding. And then this second series, while you know it's going to be good, at least you think it's going to be, and it was. I mean, I know maybe two of the actors, and they're not even big roles.
So I have a hard time believing, though, that this is going to take the same spin where season one was fantastic and season two is going to just be garbage.
Oh, no, I don't think that at all. I think it's going to be great as well. But at the same time, I can't help but, like, I want to watch the original Fargo with Billy Bob Thornton right afterwards because it's just...
You know, it's funny you say that, Joe, because after we watched it, Maria's in season one, I go, let me put season one on for you. You have to watch it. Please watch it. Please watch it.
Yeah.
And she was like,
and
no.
I said, no.
And I was like, you really need to watch because season
no, one. I am protecting my innocence from the first season.
And the thing it's is,
got, but you don't. Have,
because you guys have all seen the first
it
season.
Doesn't matter.
So it will be fun to have a perspective where I don't know.
Yeah. So
but you don't.
The show starts off with we're dealing with a mob family in
Minnesota. Gerhardt
in Minnesota.
Syndicate,
yeah.
The first the original
now,
syndicate.
Now, can I say the. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the first. What seems to be the original syndicate.
Yes.
In North Dakota.
And what's funny is, did anybody else notice that the father, the guy who had a stroke, looked exactly like the guy from the
yes.
Fargo movie? At first, yeah. I go,
the
I was,
father-in-law.
This
damn
is my
sure
Wade.
You're not trying to sell me a damn car.
Yeah.
It's my deal here, Wade. Yeah, and I thought it wasn't the same guy. I looked it up.
Yeah, even though the characters were completely unrelated.
Yeah,
and yeah, it was very.
It had to be a nod, because it had to be because it was too. It was fucking.
It was some sort of nod. Yeah.
Now the wife, the mother, who is she? She's a famous actress.
She is. Yeah, she is the actress from that Southern TV show in the 80s, Designing Women.
Wow. Okay. Why would that be the thing you think I know?
No,
her
but
from?
She was on Designing Women for a long time. Right. I think she was in an episode of the Brady Bunch too.
State Youth and Revolt.
Yeah,
Sweet Alabama.
So, that's the one thing before we even get into anything. The Coen brothers that's really cool because you were saying, Joe, there's not a lot of big names. Well, really, if you think about the first season, Billy Bob Thornton was really the biggest name. There wasn't a lot of huge names. You know, Martin Freeman's in it, but really more of a British actor. It was, that's what, but Coen brothers do that. You know, think about the Fargo movie. William H. Macy was the biggest name in that movie. Buscemi wasn't that big at the time.
Right.
You know, later, in hindsight, yeah, he turned out to be huge. But I think that's where the Coen brothers do really good, where they get these actors that you don't think about or were like on Designing Women and they get the best out of them, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Key and Peele last season were amazing. He has the two bumbling FBI agents.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, I would look at that and go, what are you, out of your fucking
exactly.
mind? But it worked. It really worked.
It shows you how good the fucking scripts are. So we start the episode with the youngest brother running in. Who played
who's trying to get ahead in the family. He's looked at as kind of a dipshit.
Yeah, who played the younger brother?
He looked familiar as fuck, but I have no idea.
Who Mark?
Kieran Culkin.
Kieran Culkin.
Brother of Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay, oh, okay. That fucking makes sense. He looks like him. Holy shit.
We do research on this show.
Wow, can you believe that he's on a fucking show like that and Macaulay's still doing heroin? Allegedly. So, they...
Now he's doing it.
Yeah, basically. So, they... it takes place in the 70s, right?
Yeah, late 70s, like around the election of Jimmy Carter.
So, let's start right at the beginning. The part that really, really, I thought was... The way they started it, little things that... I don't know if everyone caught it that stood out for me. The first, like... minute of the show was in 4:3 format. Like
for a second there, I was like, is there something wrong with my HD?
Right. And I was like, that's fucking cool, you know, that they're doing it the way TV would be then. Because that scene, I was laughing my balls off with that Indian waiting for Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm still kind of confused. I get how it ties in. Yeah. Apparently there was some Indian massacre.
Yeah, in Sioux Falls.
Yeah, I had no idea. So
can I get a blanket?
But like, is that a fact? I'm assuming
it has
to be, right?
It is. And Ronald Reagan did make a movie.
No, I know he was in movies. Yeah.
And it was that. And that scene was great. I will say the other thing that I really enjoyed about this is how good the Coen brothers are with interlining comedy with the dark shit that's happening.
Such dark material.
Because some of the stuff was making me fucking howl. That was fucking funny. So basically they're sitting there. He's the brother's waiting for the money. He doesn't have it. Basically, it's the typical little guy getting sick of being picked on.
Right, he's like their errand boy.
Yeah,
and he wants to rise up.
He goes into the typewriter store with his gun and blah 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 blah. And
to make a collection.
Yeah, to make a collection. They didn't have it. Then he went to the diner with that lady. Who was that lady?
She was the. he was the judge, and in yes. order for him to get the typewriters, the judge had to sign or make some agreement with the guy selling the typewriter.
Yeah, the typewriter guy got into some trouble. There was something going against him, and
right,
and he
and
was
she had to pretty much clear his name.
Yeah, to drop the charges or clear it or whatever.
But you have to explain the story behind it is that the typewriter guy is saying, like, hey, come on, man. Like, you got to invest in these. These are electric typewriters that correct your words.
Self-correcting, yeah.
Even the men,
really good.
Typewriters aren't just for women anymore. Even men are using them. Yeah. That was such a great line.
Yeah.
They're the future.
But that's really how it was.
Yeah, it was. It was great. They're the future.
That's one of the endearing things about when, you know, the Coen brothers are associated with it. It's just like really weird off the wall shit that they just throw in
yeah.
there, and it actually makes sense. Like, it's not completely out of the realm of possibility.
And
well, there is one thing that I'll get to when we get to it that does not make sense to me. But
so we start with that. He goes to see her, the judge. He takes a bump of coke, walks in, and another fucking great scene. There's only two ways this is going to go. Let me guess. Is one of them the hard way? Like, that was fucking great line.
She shut him down.
She embarrassed him.
Humiliated.
It's fucking great. She took out bug spray.
Spray him in the face with bug spray.
Like a bug.
And like the fuck up he is, his initial reaction is to, well, shoot her.
He fucking
bug pun before she actually sprayed him in the face with bug spray.
Fucking squash you.
Yeah, yeah.
Now get out of here before I call the cops, and then she shoots everybody in the diner up.
I love, again, I know it's Noah Hawley who's writing all of this and not the Coen brothers.
Right.
But of course they're, you know, involved.
Of course.
But it again, typical of Coen brothers fashion.
Yeah.
He pulls the gun out and it shows her face and she just goes, oh crap.
Oh, exactly. Like,
I mean, that's like, that's real life shit. That's what you would think would happen.
And the
like,
fucking
Wow, I just fucked up with my bug spray. I'm about to be shot to death.
The short cook runs out. The short cook runs out. He gets shot. Everybody gets shot. He robs the cash register. The waitress crawls outside, and you see that she's walking outside. Another real thing that happened, Joe, that you pointed it out.
Ran out of bullets.
When he ran out of bullets and he had the refill, but she's still slowly running away.
Oh shit, even before that though, like before he actually gets out of the diner, the fucking judge like stands up.
Oh right, and like, stabs him.
Like Lazarus and tries to kill him some more.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he pulls a knife out of his back. They walk outside. That scene was great. You know, he shoots him. And then the mystery car, because we find out later who it is, but the mystery car just hits him and keeps driving.
With him. He saw aliens. He saw UFOs.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Thank you.
See, I don't understand what that J.J. Abrams shit was about. Look, I don't know if they were going for, I could tell you firsthand, coke does not make you hallucinate. So I don't know if it was like a helicopter and he perceived it as
I thought
UFO.
It was a helicopter.
Want to see helicopters, bro? I got some shit to see.
But no, dude, I don't get what that was about. I really don't.
I thought it was a helicopter.
I know they needed it to have him distracted to be in the road, but are they really trying to?
I doubt that it's going to be anything extraterrestrial. I think
I read reviews saying that it was.
I don't think so. But I don't know if it was or wasn't. But what I do know is I thought maybe no. I don't think it was. Obviously, coke doesn't make you see fucking UFOs. But it's also the fact that the fucking adrenaline and crazy. He just killed a bunch of people. You know.
Right.
It could also be him losing his fucking mind because he just did that, you know, freaking out.
Right.
And all the blood that's seeping out of his back because he just pulled a knife.
True. All the blood that he's losing.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think that. I said the same thing. I was like, is that? And I thought, I've said to Marie, I said, I hope that's a helicopter because I don't think they're going to have aliens.
Yeah,
because
that would just be, that wouldn't fit. It would not work.
But again, if it were any other show, and I'm not trying to laud it too much because, you know, I don't want to get my hopes up, but it that scene where the lights and he's looking up and like, oh, is it? Okay, what the hell is this? And right even before you have a doubt, then he gets hit by the car.
Yeah, he got
completely
smacked.
Distract you from the fact that, like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, I forgot.
Fuck, he just got hit by a car.
I forgot about that.
What?
I forgot about it because I got so into what kept going on afterwards. So they call the cop's house. Again, reminded me a lot of the movie when Marge gets the call at home.
Yeah.
It was very, it felt that the very similar vibe, you know?
Yep.
He's not pregnant.
Right. Reading a story to Molly, he walks, gets the phone. It turns out that her dad, Becker, or Sam from Cheers,
I believe his name is Ted Danson.
No, Sam from Cheers is
Ted Danson.
By the way, I comment. Ted Danson grows a fucking great beard.
Yes, he does.
That guy's beard was good.
Yes, honestly, he's great in everything.
Yeah, I know. He's a very good actor.
He really is.
Remember when he
and
did...
again, to go back to what you're saying before, Royce, about intertwining, like, yes, just out of nowhere humor and dark shit.
Yes.
Where he goes, there's a shoe
there's
in that
tree. There's a shoe in that tree. God, that was funny.
And then just it pans back to him alone by himself. That is a shoe in the tree.
It was just obsessed with the dumbest thing.
Fucking hilarious. So, meanwhile, there's a
fucking bodies
a woman
everywhere.
Laying down with half her head blown off.
Another
2 feet away.
Something else very Coen Brothers esque when they did the split screen when they were walking outside. I thought that was a really cool shot.
I'll be honest, I liked it, but I thought it was a little distracting. Like,
yeah, I mean, but it's something the Coen Brothers do.
Yeah?
Yeah. They've done that splits thing before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they, they're in the diner. You know, he's investigating everything. We have to figure the skid marks are unrelated. And it turns out that they're talking about, we find out that his wife has cancer. She's going through chemo. So they're investigating the crime. They're trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. Another one of my favorite scenes in the show. And then of course, the shoe thing, like you said, was fucking great. There was a lot of comedy just in that investigation scene alone. Like, yeah, there was little things that made me laugh really hard. The
bingo hall?
Dude, the bingo hall. That was
why were 35-year-old men hanging out in a bingo hall?
Well, here's what I figured.
That's what I was.
I think they were all it was a bingo hall for like vets. They were on the military. I thought it was one of those bars.
Right. Okay. Yep.
That's what I was picking up. Like,
that,
it was,
that makes sense.
Yeah. Mitch, do you frequent that bingo hall? Is it near you? Do you know where it was?
No, this one's actually like 2.5 hours away. I go to the local one, you know, down the road.
I get you.
Bar bingo is really trendy in Minnesota.
Oh, well, there you go. See, it's accurate.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah.
Saturday night karaoke.
Yeah. Well, it's accurate. There you go. They know what they're doing.
And one of the actors that was in that scene, Nick Offerman, his character's name in the show is Carl Weathers.
Is it really?
Is that the conspiracy guy?
Yes.
With an equally awesome beard like Ted Danson's, because
he was good.
Beard game is strong.
That fucking military industrial complex. That was probably one of my funniest scenes was him talking about the military industrial complex. Just talking about all the conspiracy theories, and yeah, Watergate was just a break-in.
No, and then telling his friend, the sheriff guy, he's like, listen, John McCain can make it through 5 years, have bamboo shoots in his fingernails, then God damn it, that beautiful woman can survive cancer and beat its ass.
I love how he sounds so mad and hit the table. God damn it, at the prime of her life.
Very consoling words.
Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah.
So they're talking about that and all the whole conspiracy thing in the bingo hall, which again, God, that just bingo hall just looked like a Coen Brothers bingo hall. Just so, ugh, you know, like knew wouldn't really want to be there, but they all hang out there. So,
good picture specials too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, because you would know more than anyone, everything we're talking about with this, you know, Coen Brothers look. Does it really mainly all come down to the lighting and the production? Design,
it's
like
it's a lot to do with the lighting and the way that the shots are composed and set up, like what's going on in the foreground, the background, and everything like that.
Right.
And it's also a little bit in the editing of how you color it. So they always have kind of a little bit of a desaturated, and they go with the
right
tones. Everything. They don't go with too contrasty or too, you know, out there.
Right. It's kind of mild, like
it's more of a filmy look.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And the guy, by the way, the main cop,
Sulverson?
Yeah. Patrick Wilson, Lou Sulverson.
Yeah, Sulverson, which is a great name if you're a cop.
Again, the young Keith Carradine from last season.
Yeah, he was also Night Owl in Watchmen, right? Yeah, yes. He was Night Owl in Watchmen. That's okay.
He was also the pervert guy in that. One with Ellen Page, whatever the hell that.
Yeah. I know what you mean. So after this, now is it after this scene where they cut to Fat Damon in the butcher shop?
I think so.
Okay, now if you don't know, Fat Damon is also, I used to call him Meth Damon. He was the guy in Breaking Bad.
I knew he looked familiar. Yeah. Okay,
you saw how much weight he gained for the role, dude.
Yeah,
because I was looking at it and I was like, Fat Damon. I was like, his, you know, he looked like a retarded Matt Damon in, right, in Breaking Bad.
That's carryover because he was that fat in the movie Black Mass that he was in with Johnny Depp.
Oh, that, you know what? That makes sense.
Sherry messaged me over Facebook 5 minutes ago. She's like, that's not Matt Damon. I'm like, I know. It's not. It just, he just looks like
Matt Damon. He does.
The movie The Martian, he's awesome in
his real name is Jesse Plemons.
Yeah, he was, his character is, and as soon as I saw him at the butcher shop, I told Marie, that's the protagonist. I go, that's the protagonist. That's the William H. Macy of this show.
He seems similar to Martin Freeman.
Yeah. And he's a good guy who gets in over his head. Right. You know, he's at the butcher shop. Okay then.
He's got this illusion that he's going to buy the shop because the owner gave him free meat.
Once. I know.
Free chops.
So, again, one of my least favorite actresses, Kristen Dunst, is in this.
I don't know why
Wait. Why is that? Why don't you like Kristen Dunst?
I think she's great, and I think she's sexy as fuck. I don't know your problem.
I don't see either one of those things.
I know many people that do not like her that are not a fan of her at all. So what is your reasoning for her?
I do not like her because of how shitty she was in all the Spider-Man movies. I do not like her Snaggletooth.
But she did really good in Bring It On.
She did.
Do you remember
Eternal Sunshine?
That tit shot that they did in Small Soldiers when she was tied up on the floor?
Okay. You see.
Was that a double or was that a real tit? Because now I got to look it up.
I mean, I don't remember Kirsten Dunst doing the disco dance in Spider-Man 3. I'm pretty sure that was Tobey
Maguire. Yeah, well, if he was in it, I would say he sucks too. So don't get me wrong. I would also say that. But
Tobey Maguire's Cider House rules forever, bro.
Fucking Seabiscuit dog. She was in another movie many years ago where it was also in a town just like this with the same accent, you know, what was it called?
Are you talking about the cheerleading
Dick?
Movie
yes.
with Kirstie Alley?
Yes.
Or Kirstie Alley, I should say. I don't remember the name of it.
Fuck. It's really funny, too.
Doesn't matter.
Dick. Where they meet Richard Nixon?
No, not. I've seen that one. No, not that one.
Well, why are you bringing it up?
Because it was the same accent. It was the same area where that movie was, you know, the same.
Okay.
Don't you know? Anyway, I'll figure it out later. So anyway, Kristen Dunst, they walk in and Fat Damon walks in with his meat. And Marie and I, the first thing we thought is, she's cheating on him. You know, when you heard the noise.
When someone was downstairs or in the garage and you didn't like a noise was coming from the other room while they were eating in the kitchen.
You didn't put it together that
I thought she was cheating on him. No, I really didn't.
Yeah, I thought somebody was just being hidden.
I really, really thought that. Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, obviously I was wrong. Only because the conversation made me feel that way when she was like, no, yeah, that's your dream. Well, it's our dream. You know, like, you know, she didn't seem into the whole marriage and.
Yeah, right.
I was picking that up. Now, another reason I hate her is I know it's just her character, but who the fuck would hit a person and drive with them all the way home?
The dumbest person on the planet.
I thought they were going to go with the, okay, she had a drink or two, so that's why she didn't report to the police. Otherwise, I don't see a reason not to.
Well, I know her Fat Damon said, well, why didn't she call the police? And she's like, well, I was nervous and I came home. And it shows her on the montage.
She's chilling.
She's a sociopath. Yeah.
She's like doing her nails.
Brushing her hair just nonchalantly like nothing happened. Yeah.
Drop Dead Gorgeous. So, that's the name.
Drop
of the movie.
Dead Jesus. Gorgeous. Thank you. Watch Drop Dead Gorgeous. I guarantee every one of you would fucking like that movie. So anyway,
was Buscemi in that?
No.
Crispin Glover?
Yes.
Yes, that was a great movie.
It was just really fucking funny. It was dark too, but I liked it. So they walk in there. Fat Damon walks in there.
Wait a minute. Go back to what you guys were talking about. Why is she acting that way? I mean, she just
she's a sociopath.
I think she's just
a sociopath. It just didn't faze her, and she's just.
I thought she was trying to keep up appearances.
Well, that's part of it too, I think. But obviously, there's something going on where it obviously didn't faze her a bit that she just you know, killed a guy and wasn't bothered at all. Just went about her night.
I guess I couldn't really tell. I couldn't really tell if it didn't faze her or she was just trying to hide it and suppress it. Or
maybe, no, I think that was the point of showing the scenes of her doing her hair and like going about her night like nothing happened while she was by herself. Like,
no, because Martin Freeman's character last season, he was, you know, equally like goofy everyman, but he was all, you know, he had kind of a dark side, and maybe it's this time where Kirsten Dunst Snaggletooth has the dark side, and then Fat Damon is the,
you know what?
That's the way it seems. Absolutely.
That's a very good point. Martin Freeman could also be considered a sociopath too. And then first season, the way he did that, the way he just, he was,
but he,
you know,
turned into one.
Like, that's true.
Kirsten Dunst or Kirsten.
But he always had a choice. It's always like Walter White from Breaking Bad. He always had a choice. He always had an out, and he just kept going down that dark path.
Yeah, that's true. So they walk into the garage. She says, "Oh, I hit a deer." It took fucking Fat Damon a really long time after so many noises.
Giant hole in the windshield that only a head, human head, could go through.
And I wonder what she was hiding when she breaks a cup. Like, he's going to find out eventually. Like, what are you going to do?
Maybe we should just do it. You mean like right here?
Like right here?
No, no, dining room, silly.
In Brainerd.
Let's settle this right here in Brainerd. So, walks in, and then he fucking does a goddamn Fat Damon Jason Bourne move and kills him with a fucking... shanks him.
Yeah, like I don't even know what times.
That was. But yeah. It was a garden shovel.
There
little,
it is.
Okay.
Kills him.
All I know is that Kieran Culkin apparently lost a lot of blood when it was when his head was through the windshield,
because
he was just pouring like a faucet on her front seat, and he's just acting like all like.
Yep. And after that, damn it. Yeah, it was bad. And so he kills him, and then, you know, they're sitting, and it was another one of those, like, you felt really bad for Fat Damon. You felt really bad for him, you know? Like, whenever you think back to
the... You obviously saw who was in charge of that relationship.
Yeah, 100%. And his dreams, they even cut back to it, like, okay, then okay, at the butcher when he thought his life was so great.
Mm-hmm.
And it was shit, and she wanted to fucking leave the California. And obviously she doesn't want to have a kid with him either. You know, that was pretty obvious. You know, I think she's going to end up cheating on him or has been cheating on him. That's my opinion. She hadn't fucked him. She go, "Oh, didn't we have sex like last Saturday?" "No, we didn't. You had a headache or whatever." That whole scene at the dining room table. So,
story behind that? I mean, how the hell they even like bother getting together with each other?
Yeah, I've no clue. The thing I'm trying to understand is what happened let me put it this way. Why is the idea of running, like, they put them in the freezer. They're not great criminals, you know?
And yeah, what are they saving the body for?
That's a very Minnesota thing to do, because I have one of those freezers.
Deep freezer.
We have a deer's head in it right now.
I can show you if you would like.
That is a very Minnesota thing to do.
Oh, I want to see it.
You have a deer head in your freezer?
Please
let me see that. Please. I want to see that.
But yeah, they were really amateur. They didn't even wrap the body before they dumped it in the freezer.
On top of the meat. That bothered me. He's like, "You have good meat down there. What are you doing?"
Because they're dumb people. They're nice and stupid white people that just don't know any better. So they're just throwing stuff in.
Here's the difference. At least Martin Freeman's character in the first season kind of knew what he was doing. He was pretty smart about things, you know?
Wait, I'm really sorry. I'm getting distracted by this. Yes.
Sherry's taking out a deer head. Oh, my God, Sherry.
Fucking metal as shit.
That is fucking crazy awesome.
Please use that during this month in an inappropriate way.
Oh my God. What are you guys going to do with the deer head?
Take a Christmas photo with it, hopefully?
No, she's going to
mount it.
She's going to mount it, do a European mount. So it's just the antlers, you know?
Oh, that's like, called a European mount. I didn't know that.
Well, I don't know what a normal kind of mount is, but like it's the full head, shoulders type thing. This is just the antlers and the skull.
I'll put a picture in the chat.
That's pretty badass.
I missed the reaction. What?
They make it into a helmet that just pours blood. Like, yes. Just gushes blood, and then it just plays like OTEP or something, like random metal shit.
I told you to wear it as a hat for a while, didn't I? I think I did.
Probably.
You people are sick.
I just kept thinking, the one thing that I just kept thinking about was how easy must it have been to get away with murder Before the internet.
Holy shit, I was thinking that too. I was like
DNA tests, like what you were saying, we'll just tell people we hit a deer. And I'm thinking, yeah, I mean,
why not?
There's no, I mean, blood is blood back then. No DNA to tell if it's human or animal.
And even robbing the diner, like there's no cameras.
Right.
Then nobody saw what happened. I mean, especially in a place like that where there's nothing for miles.
Yeah.
Why not? They can just throw the guy in the freezer and say it was a deer.
That was one kind of thing that bothered me, though. I was like, you know, watching the show, there must be 20 people that live in this town.
Yeah.
Where all this stuff happens. Which, by the way, I know that you were complaining about the montage where it was local side by side, you know, different people and different spots and everything else. But, I mean, it really is kind of cool where you see that these people didn't know each other and they're about to know each other all because of these series of unfortunate things that are about to happen.
Yeah.
So then after that whole awkward, like, oh, let's go to California.
That's when she starts to panic and realize maybe she does not have a plan like Martin Freeman did, as you said.
Yeah.
To get rid of the body. I mean, obviously, putting a body in a freezer is to confuse the time of death. So whenever you decide to bring it out and dispose of wherever, if it's found, they can't tell when it was killed. That's, I don't know if you knew that. It's weird that I know that, maybe.
That's why you need a professional. You pull out their teeth and you cut off their fingertips and then you just get rid of the body.
Another good thing that, and people are praising Culkin for when, you know, acting like he was actually on coke, that whole scene when he walked in and she keeps bothering him, like, what do you want to order? Just coffee. He kept
freaking me out.
Yeah, exactly. You're freaking me out. Like, that was really good.
The
that
sugar?
Was, yeah. Yeah, that was like, yeah.
And speaking of the, back to the Waffle Hut, the judge is actually Ann Cusack. Sister of John and Joan Cusack.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact.
Oh, yeah. I did like his line, Culkin's line. That's like Jupiter telling Pluto, hey, you're a planet too.
What?
Huh? At the when he was, the little brother was telling the.
No. That's why I would answer.
That's right.
I thought you were asking me. That was great. And then they move over to Raymond's brother. From everyone's layman as a police guy. Not the police guy, as the mob guy, you know, going through the slideshow.
You're just used to him being a police officer because everyone loves Raymond.
And now this is the syndicate that the old man who had a stroke was talking about that was trying to take over, right?
She's a tough gal, but come on, she's a woman. And everyone starts laughing. That was fucking
cool. That was great.
Yeah.
Which leads me to believe that they're setting it up for her to be the goddamn brains behind it. That's what it seems like, you know?
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
That she's going to be the one that's really going to be. I think she's probably been the brains behind it.
Right, because he was just sitting at the table and she's like, oh, these books aren't good. Yeah. A little light. You know, she's going over everything and just she sets it down in front of him, but she's doing all the talking.
Right. So I think she's going to be the head of the real head of the family because the brothers are all idiots. All of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
None of them really.
Are you talking about Jean Smart? I'm lost.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
The wife of the main mob guy.
The Gerhardt mom.
Yeah.
Jean Smart.
Yeah. They say Mrs. Gerhardt.
They're not big picture guys.
From Designing Women.
Right.
Very applicable.
Yeah, so I think she's going to end up being that. And now who's the shadowy figure? The guy.
Oh, behind the, what do you call it? The slideshow thingy, whatever it's called.
Right.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's the head of the syndicate. I mean, he is the one that said approved.
No, I know. So, I'm just wondering if they're going to show him and who the actor is. I'm just curious if they're...
Oh, yeah, no, me too. Yeah.
I don't know if that's someone that's going to, you know...
In regards to the first episode, there is one thing that I, you know, now spoil for myself because I'm on the Wikipedia page for this season of Fargo, but it's pretty good. Like, you guys will like it, for sure.
Well, wait, what are you looking at?
Well, what is it? Now I got to know.
Yeah, well,
it's because they were talking like the very opening where the Indian was talking to the director. And
is that Shep Proudfoot? Because I was thinking that's the guy from Fargo.
It's something else, but equally as cool. Probably better, actually.
Because I thought that was Proud. That was the Indian guy from the Fargo movie. He was younger. You know what I mean? Because the timeline would make sense.
Just vouch for the one guy, didn't vouch for the other.
Yeah, exactly. Like that. That's what I thought was.
And then he whips him with the belt afterwards.
Oh, God, that's a great scene. Yeah, and at first, again, because I didn't know him until they said the name, I was like, oh, is Culkin playing young Steve Buscemi? Like, is that what this is? Because, you know, I thought that was, but no, it's not.
But this is what impressed me about this episode is that, you know, the shadowy figure, and he's listening to Brad Garrett, the actor, that's, you know, talking about this, you know, family that they're trying to overtake so they can get this territory, blah, blah, blah. And then they say approved, and then it's the episode ends. And you're like, fuck, no, I got to wait until next week for this shit, which didn't happen once in this last season of True Detective, for me anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, I agree. But I mean, so far, every review I've seen, I've read about season two is that it's fucking fantastic. Like, people that have seen more episodes, you know, that it's fantastic.
Yeah, they're saying it's even better than the first episode.
That's what
I... first season, which is crazy to me because the first season was fantastic too.
Yeah, I don't agree. I mean, I loved this first season episode, but last season, again, with Billy Bob and...
No,
waiting room. But I mean, that was
hold on.
Hospital, the casino, when they finally got to meet each other in their different life. You know, obviously.
Well, hold on. But that's not fair because you've compared.
I know you can't really compare.
You would have to
compare
episode one to episode one, like independently.
I know.
Like, you already know what happened with Billy Bob because we don't know what's going to happen.
Good
with,
point.
You know what I mean? Like, that's
the
thing.
It was just, you know, it's just the introduction of the badass Billy Bob that was so perfect in season one. And again, I'm not saying, you know, this season is not as good. I'm just saying.
He won a Golden Globe for that, you know.
Yeah.
He did, right? Yes, well deserved. But
and actually had one of the better acceptance speeches where he's like, I don't want to talk about any of this stuff. I mean, I'm just here to make you know, movies and television and stuff. So thank you very much. And he just walked off.
And he was fucking great in Bad Santa. Jesus Christ.
Yes, I love that movie.
One of the best movies of all time.
He ain't gonna shit right for a week.
Every Christmas week I watch that yearly. It's a tradition.
You have to.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it really had a lot of fucking promise, man. You know, we're gonna judge it ourselves and we're gonna see, but you know, the episode, from every moment of it, I was never a point I was like, oh, this is boring. Like, everything was very good. They kept my attention very well, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, the one part, and we've referred to this before on the show, but the one part where I was getting like, okay, now you're getting a little too weird, but by the time I was thinking that the car crash happened where he went through the windshield when he saw the UFOs, you know, up on high after he was done killing all those people in the diner, like, that part I was like, eh.
Yeah, no, same here. I was like, that doesn't fit. But again, you know, who knows? Like you were saying before, it could have been his imagination. It could have been, you know,
the loss of
a street light. And, you know, he interpreted it that way because the adrenaline, the loss of blood, who knows?
Right. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, once again, if that's the only complaint, that's a good first episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I really don't see the series taking on a sci-fi element.
No.
I'm not worried about it.
Have you seen any, did you notice any connection from the first season to the second season?
Well, like I said, besides the fact that the Salverson was, the older Salverson was in season one as Molly's
Lou,
dad.
Lou Salverson?
There's another one, though.
What's the other one?
There's a very subtle one.
Go ahead.
Where in the diner, where he's sitting with the judge and she's explaining what God and the devil did to convince Job of whatever.
Yeah.
And, he didn't get the point at all. And she goes, you're a bit dim, aren't you? Goes back to when Billy Bob Thornton went last season to see Sam Hess. And he talks to his kids and he goes,
oh, yeah.
Your younger son, I think he's a bit dim.
Yes.
I mean, that's the only time I've heard that wonderful, beautiful expression.
It's a good
So that had to be a nod to that. I mean, that was something I picked up on.
But other than the one character tie-in, that's all we've seen so far?
Yeah. I mean, the character tie-in's the whole basis for this series, so yeah. But other than that...
Wait a minute. Maybe it's like a northern colloquialism, Mitch. Is this something
that you... Yeah. Do they call people dim there?
Which is most people in the population of wherever you live?
Yeah, I think dim, you're not the sharpest tool in the shed, not the brightest light bulb. You know,
well, I know what it means, but I know
you know what you mean, what it means, but I mean, those are things that I've heard. Have you heard it, Jerry? Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
That might just be a northern thing. Another thing that they picked up was when when Salverson got the call at his house, his wife was making tater tots.
Oh, I noticed that.
That's a Minnesota thing for sure.
Oh.
Cameron Culper and tater tots and combining them together to make a tater tot hot dish.
Yes. Best.
That's right. You guys have things called hot dishes, which we don't have down south.
Yeah.
I mean, you have them. You just call them casseroles.
The other thing that I thought was funny is that the last season ran from April to June, and this season started in October, which is weird that they switched up. They moved it to a fall show. Maybe because they didn't expect the first season to do as good as it did, and now they want to move it to a time where they have more viewership. I'm just don't know why they did it, but it's usually weird when they do something like that, you know?
Yeah, I could be wrong. I would just assume it's on when they get the filming done. You know, like
you might
once
be right.
The season two is okayed, they start right away, I would assume. Yeah. And then whenever, you know.
That makes sense. I mean, because a lot of shows, you know what I mean? They come on always this time to this time. And, you know, I guess,
think that's more of like a network TV thing. You know what I mean? Like a.
Yeah, you're right. Good point. Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I don't know if.
FX has always been kind of weird about that, where they never. I mean, they try to do their shows on the same time, but they've moved stuff around before. So. It could be.
They don't tend to follow those rules, really. Yeah. I don't think.
So who is this Reagan guy? He a nice guy? Great. You want to smoke? Fuck. All right. Predictions. We need predictions. What do we? I mean, this is going to be
hard. For the next episode?
Yeah, next episode. What do you think? What do we think?
I mean, obviously, we're going to learn more about Brad Garrett and his syndicate, and I'm assuming they're going to take over. I mean, they're going to have to after what we saw.
I don't think in episode two they're going to reveal who the shadowy man is yet.
Okay.
Involved with or in charge of that whole family. I don't think that's going to happen yet.
No, but I think they'll at least, you know, let on to the Garrett family.
I think the Garrett family will probably try to at least investigate what happened to the youngest son and try to retaliate.
Yeah, maybe some retaliation. The cops will probably figure out that it was a hit and run type thing. Once they find out, because remember when they were saying there's a car that doesn't belong here, why would he get picked up?
Right.
Once they find out that that car is the guy's and it's still there, you know, they'll be looking for him. And
yeah, again, like it makes it really, really different when it's back then, like you were saying, Joe, when there's no DNA evidence, there's no this, there's no that. It's really like, God, you were all, everyone was thinking, I was thinking, it's like, wow, it was so much easier to get away with this shit back then.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I hit a deer.
Very weird, eccentric, off-putting death.
Like somebody that you wouldn't think they would kill.
No, just like being killed in a weird way.
Oh, yeah.
Like kind Good of point. Like all of this happened where, you know, it wasn't just somebody getting shot. It was somebody getting shot after being stabbed in the back with a fork. And the guy came out chasing after you with a frying pan and you just got sprayed with bug spray. You know, weird shit like that.
Yeah.
He didn't have too good of the last few moments.
No, he really didn't.
His last hour on Earth was not exactly pleasant.
It was
frankly, he kind of deserved it because he was one of those guys that was being kind of, you know, like dickish and like, I'm going to take a bump of cocaine and do all this stuff. And he didn't know how to be a badass. He was just acting like he was.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Well, because he was, once again, it was that little man syndrome where he felt that the brothers were being dicks to him and no one took him seriously. And I was like, guy.
He's a phony tough guy. That's all.
Yeah, they established why he had the small dick syndrome.
Like, I was almost kind of hoping and thinking that they were going to have him shoot himself in the leg or, like, in the crotch whenever he was sticking his gun in his...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I thought of that, too, when he was putting it back in his pants. I'm like, dude, that's not safe.
No, guys, it's 8 Mile with Eminem. Wrong show.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely completely the wrong
Cheddar
show.
Cheddar Bob.
Yeah, it happened out here by Moose Lake. End of story. I also picked up a vibe from that, you know, when he was the guy that called in the diner thing when he was explaining it to the cop.
Oh, is it okay if I left my rig there?
Yeah, exactly. I put my jacket on her. I just thought it would be proper. Like that whole scene. So is it okay? You know about the jacket? It's just the dumbest thing.
Completely missing with a murder scene? Yeah, yeah. It's totally fine.
It's totally fine, no problem.
To, you know, contaminate the entire scene, sir.
It was just so fucking Coen Brothers, you know? It was so it was great. Yeah, I mean, any predictions, Mitch, Sherry?
I'm not sure. Honestly, don't know where they're going to go with the next part other than what you guys are saying.
I mean, I don't think they're going to put anybody in a wood chipper, but
I'm also thinking maybe, just maybe, Fat Damon, as you call him, is going to be way too rattled and have a big mouth and start kind of talking to people about what happened.
Yeah.
I'm saying he might not be able to keep it under wraps as much as he should.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. Yeah, I think he's gonna lose his cool.
Right, and that's how it's gonna be found out.
Yeah. I also think that the conspiracy guy, the guy who was played by Offerman, he's gonna actually figure out stuff that they're gonna think are conspiracy, but it's gonna turn out to be true, like based on you know what I mean? Like one of those
which
things.
Which will make it funny, yeah, of course.
Yeah. I mean, you know, because he's a pretty decent name, so I'm sure he's gonna have more than one small scene.
Him and the other guy were cops as well, right?
I don't know if they were cops. I know they both served in the military.
I'm pretty sure they were cops, too, because they mentioned something to Salverson, like, what are you doing in uniform? You were on with us in the morning.
Oh, you might be right. Oh,
I
shit.
I think they were cops as well.
Again, bringing back the first season, how great was fucking Odenkirk?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, he was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Adopts that black kid at the end. Fucking hilarious.
Oh.
Yeah, it was, man. Fuck, it was good. I hate getting my hopes up because of what True Detective did, but man, this is really good.
You're not going to have that worry with this one.
I mean, no, we're not going to have that problem.
Just the writing and the pacing and, you know, how it was all put together.
Yeah.
Compared to True Detective, like, you're not going to have any worries.
You can tell right off the bat. Yeah, no, this is going to be great.
Yeah, no, it was, fuck, man, it was really good. I wonder.
God damn it, we actually kind of deserve it after watching.
I know, seriously.
True Detective.
We really do. I wonder if they're going to do something where they connect it to the movie like they did with the first season to something about it. Maybe something minor, but something with the movie they'll connect to. I'm not sure. Maybe.
Yeah, it'd have to be a prequel kind of thing.
Well, obviously. Maybe Wade from the old man Wade from the movie.
Right.
Maybe
how he built up his.
Right. Maybe how he was connected to the mob for all we. You know what I'm saying? That would just be an idea, you know, as to why he became.
It might tie into the roots of where Buscemi's character comes from.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. And the mob people, or the Pancake House. But either way, I mean, whether it does or doesn't, story alone is just, it was very well done, very well put together. Like you, Mitch, was saying that the filming was just fucking phenomenal.
All around, man. Directing, the right, everything. Yeah. It was great.
It felt really, really good. I think we're gonna wrap it up now because I think we covered everything. Is there anything else we want to talk about, guys?
Oh, I can't think of anything.
Very excited for next week. Stay tuned next week. 9:30. We're right after Hippo Juice. We're gonna be talking about season 2, episode 2. What's the name of the episode?
I don't think they released it yet.
Oh, really? The name?
Yeah, I don't think so. I could be wrong, but I looked at IMDb. I didn't see it.
Cool. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. We're out of here. Like I said, stay tuned. Check out all the shows on More Like Radio. We're out. You're a sweet little babe. You're a sweet little babe. You're a sweet little babe.